Chapter 96, The Gates of Hell. Lucy squealed, blood trickling down her neck.
Enough!
In one smooth movement, Sidney Grice leapt, swept his cane off the table and raised it to head height. He put a thumb on the lever in the handle, and the cane exploded in a ball of flame. Sidney Grice cried out and clutched his face, and in that moment, the gates of hell sprang open and sucked all of us in.
What in God's name?
Pound shouted, and even in the chaos I realized it must have been one of the sticks that Molly had put in the wash. My guardian dropped to his knees, clawing his eyes, and I would have run to him, but Lucy was thrashing, stricken with terror and pain, whimpering, the blood a steady flow now, and behind her the bootmaker grinned and pulled the knife free.
I'd say that was a misfire.
And he looked down lovingly as he stroked her chin and drew that long, thin sliver of steel slowly and as deliberately as a surgeon, making his incision. Lucy wailed and her white skin broke and was flooded with bright, flowing red, and she arched back in a hopeless attempt to draw away and escape the steel which was parting her throat. And her feet flew out, running nowhere, and her wail became a gurgle, and her arms strained and wrenched, and the chair rocked, and the flood became a torrent, then a pulse, splattering from under her right jaw, far out onto the rug, where once we had sat drinking tea. It may have only taken a second, but terror stretched that time into an endless agony, and snapped it back into an instant too quickly to do anything about.
Lucy!
Freddy screamed. I raced towards him and swung the barrel of my gun into his face. I aimed for his eye, but he pulled back, and I caught his cheek.
Bitch!
He swiped the knife out of Lucy's neck. She was still alive. I saw her eyes turn to look into mine, pleading for something I could not give. The bootmaker pulled back his arm to strike, but a large shape hurtled between us, and George Pound threw me backwards, almost upsetting me onto the floor.
Run, darling, run!
There was a crash, and I spun to see Freddy had rocked her chair over sideways and was yanking her left arm free of the broken chair and scrabbling, dragging the chair with her towards her friend. Sidney Grice was wiping his eye desperately with his sleeve and struggling up.
What is happening? March, are you all right?
Yes.
It is a pity you are blind.
The bootmaker strolled over, the cheese wire dangling from his belt, a tight knot at either end.
I should have liked you to see me kill you.
He pointed the gun. I leapt at his hand, but his left fist lashed out and cracked me in the mouth. My jaw jolted back against my skull. I staggered and toppled to my knees, groggy but conscious, enough to see the bootmaker grin, and slowly and deliberately pull back the hammer.
Who are you?
Sidney Grice whispered huskily.
Who indeed?
The bootman shrugged. We are none of us who we pretend to be. He slipped off the safety catch, savouring every instant.
You want my name, Mr. Grice? Well, I'm not so formal as you. Just call me Jack.
Jack? Sidney Grice croaked.
Say goodbye, Mr. Grice.
The bootmaker pulled the trigger. And there was nothing.
What?
He shook the revolver and tried again. Sidney Grice had his gunmetal pen in his hand. He pressed the clip, and a stiletto shot out, as long as one of Geraldine Hockaday's knitting needles, but flattened to a razor edge. He lurched up and thrust towards the voice. I saw the tip enter the bootmaker's nose and emerge on the other side. The bootmaker howled,
Jesus!
Sidney Grice twisted the blade and ripped it out, tearing the nostrils wide open.
By the Christ, that hurts!
The bootmaker's left hand cupped his lower face, his blood instantly spilling over. He hurled the revolver into Sidney Grice's gaping socket, and my guardian's head reeled back. The bootmaker reached behind himself.
Knife!
I yelled, as he slashed in a wide arc, but Sidney Grice dropped under it, slashing unseeingly with his blade, like a sabre, into the side of his assailant's arm.
Stop it!
Sidney Grice jabbed. I dived at the bootmaker, and his elbow struck my temple, stunning me again. My bonnet came loose, and as my hand went to it, I came away with a hatpin, and, clutching it by the glass bead handle, I grabbed his trouser leg and drove the point into the side of his knee.
Damn shit! Damn!
The bootmaker grabbed at my wrist, and the pin snapped off inside him at the haft.
Shit, shit, shit! He raised his knife high to hack it down on me, and I tried to roll away, but he had stamped on my dress.
Die, you stinking bitch!
Quick as a rapier, Sidney Grice's stiletto plunged into my attacker's thigh. The bootmaker howled, wrenching himself free and away, hurling his knife to clatter uselessly into a sideboard as he half ran, half toppled from the room. I heard irregular footfalls and the front door slam and got up blearily and dizzily to see Freddy trailing the broken chair and trying to hold Lucy's head in place. It had, as her murderer predicted, been sliced clean off. Inspector Pound was on the floor, curled on his side.
George!
I threw myself over to him and looked. The knife was in his chest, jammed hard, I saw, between his ribs.
Oh, thank God, it is the right side!
He was leaning on the handle, so I turned him onto his back, and he groaned.
We shall get you straight to hospital. I shall give you my blood like I did before, and you will complain about having to recuperate in the countryside. We shall bore our children and our grandchildren with the story of this as we sit holding hands by the fire.
George smiled distantly, and his hand rose to touch my cheek.
Oh, dear God, how I love.
But those fingers never found me. His arm fell and he shivered. His breath fled. Those beautiful eyes faded. And the man I loved above all others, above my very self, gave up his soul and became a body.